Okay, so yesterday in Shir, we talked about the question of a bedikah that was done during the Vesas that was subsequently lost. We mentioned that the Chavastas is machmir about the Shaila, and many Achronim are Mako. And I said in Shir that presumably, then if there's any Safek, in other words, he looked at the bedikah cloth, and I don't know, it was some color, and she thinks, I can't tell, is this red, is this not red? I'm going to go ask a Rav. And not the Shaila that, you know, most likely bad, but I'm going to check and see it's good. Totally an equal Safek. So I thought that was the same Shaila. So Yoni at the time pointed out to me, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe the poskim that are Mako are only Mako because you didn't look at it at all. Now, there's a case that they're talking about of Nevad, is it's Nevad before she looked at it. But if you looked at it and then lost it, it would be worse. And maybe there's a basis for such a distinction in Shivanakiyam, where we would be, again, we talked about this extensively, but there's a tzad to say your machmir if you look at it and there's a latus a safek, versus you lost it without looking at it. If you lost it without looking at it, it's lomal of lomorid. The Chavstas might not say that, but we might say that. Whereas if you looked at it and there was a suffix, it would be worse. So, but in the end of the day, I thought that the way I said it was still right. And the reason is because by Shivanakiyam, she doesn't have a Cheskas Tara, a full-fledged Cheskas Tara. Talked about whether that's true, Machlokas Rashba, Ramban, and the like. But that's, there's a tzad to be Machmir, but Machlokas Suffix. Over here, the reason, once you reject the Chavostas, we're saying that during the Vesses, she doesn't have a full-fledged Cheskas Tomar Adraba, her Cheskas Tara remains. And therefore, since her Cheskas Tara remains, so since you have a Safek here, she could be Mako. You might have a Sveik Sveika, as the Shevet Alevi and the Shiurei Shevet Alevi points out, and Ravadi as well. And therefore, we could be Mako even if there's a Safek, as opposed to in Shivanakiyam, where if it's a Safek, we're going to probably have to be Machmir. So therefore, L'chora, the din should apply as well. And I asked Rabbi Willig, and he agreed with that point. Okay, so good. So we left off yesterday, more or less in the middle of the din of Yotzei L'Darech, and I think the last thing we talked about was the question of why the psak of Machmir Tavelav Bracha is appropriate over here, the Tarsos Amim's Kasha. After all, a chumra in this respect is a kula and is mitzvahs ona. Fine. So that's, I think, where we sort of left off that discussion. Another interesting question that the post can bring up is, what about if it's an isha is yotza l'darech? In other words, she's going out of town. Is this din apply? Okay, obviously it's pasha that it's a good idea, let's go to Sishto, but is it a chiyav, or more precisely, would you be able to do it be'onas avesas? Let's assume that you pass in mikra din, that even Tashmish is mutter. So she's going on a trip out of town the next day, and the night is her vases. Could and should they have Tashmish Amita? So I think I remember hearing that Rav Avadia was Mako. I forgot to look it up inside. But I saw, and what I did look up inside, most poskim that discuss this question are machmir, including the Badi Ashulchan, Sifkatan Ayin Aleph, and the Shira Shevet Alevi, and others. And the reason is, I saw Rav Yashiv also quoted as being machmir, and the reason is because this is, now, let's say that Tzadim, actually. What's it Tzad to be Mekel? Tzad to be Mekel is that why is this mutter? Why are we willing to be Mekel, especially to overcome her Vesses? So the simplest way of understanding it, as we saw in the Ravid and others, is because we have a mitzvah, maybe a mitzvah saseh, the Raisa of Ona, and that trumps the Dinda Rabbanan of Vesses. And why is this Ona? This is Ona. The answer is that when they're parting, there's a kirva, a histokikos, And since she's mishtokekes labayla, that is a chiyuv ona. Now there's a chiyuv ona, we'll see this in one moment explicitly in Rav Moshe. The chiyuv ona is primarily that when she's mishtokekes elav, he's chayev to be with her. The fact that we give shiurim, like once a week, twice a week, whatever it is, those are dinim derabanan probably. But the ikr chiyuv, Del Rai says, when she's mishtokekes, and there are certain times that she's especially mishtokekes. So one of them is leil tefila, and another one is when he's going out of town. Well, presumably, maybe, it's equally mishtokekes, whether she's going out of town or he's going out of town. So that would be the tzad to be meikel. What's the tzad to be machmir? Well, maybe if we looked at it a little differently, that it's aser for him to go out of town for dvar reshus, if that's going to be mevatel ona. He has no right to do it. But since it's ona, he could do it. And lefizeh, if she's holachas, then maybe it would be aser. You could also say, maybe we can't be sure that it's the same mishtokekos. It's when he's leaving her that she's really a mishtokekos. But if she's leaving him, no. Bye. I'm going to enjoy a nice trip, you know, watch the kids. So for those two reasons, you could be machalik. And therefore, l'chala pachos, to be matir nisser. So I think the poskim are generally speaking machmir. The Dovi Yehuda, quoted by the Pischei Tshuva, brings up a different shaila. Let's imagine that her leil chuppah, the night she gets married, happens to be her onas aveses. So could we be mekel? So I mentioned to you that once I got this shaila, and Rabbi Willie was willing to be mekel when she's unadjusted, but she's not unadjusted, l'mashal. Could we be mekel? So we could make the following argument. Maybe we could say the same logic should apply. In other words, here she's mishtokekes, it's a mitzvah, right? We even call this bias mitzvah, right? We always talk about bias mitzvah. So this is bias mitzvah. So if bias mitzvah, if holich l'derech is bias mitzvah, it's docha l'yona. So this is bias mitzvah, should also be docha l'yona. Nevertheless, in order to be it is machmir. In order to be it is machmir. Aye, it's a mitzvah. Yeah, it's a mitzvah. But, and we even find it's a mitzvah, it's docha ninus. But still, we don't say every mitzvah is doche veses. And therefore, you can't necessarily extrapolate. And here, moreover, it uses a lashon of chayev, as opposed to over there, we call it a mitzvah. Maybe mitzvah is different than chiyev. Here it's chayev adam lefkodes ishto. There it's a mitzvah. So again, we can't extrapolate from chova to mitzvah. The way Rav Moshe says it is that, along the lines of what I said before, here, the reason why it's mutter is because of the chiyuv ona machmas de hishtokikos. And we can't know for sure. Maybe she's more mishtokakas when he goes out of town. Maybe here she's less mishtokakas. She's very nervous. It's going to hurt a lot. So I don't know. No, she's just not a big deal. Wait another day. It's hard to know. We can't extrapolate. So therefore, we'd have to be machmir. So that is the conclusion of the Chassam Sofer Lachmir, the Dodo Yehuda to Machmir, and the like. There are those who are meikel, as the Pischei Tshuva notes. Along similar lines, we have the same shaila. What's the din if her leil tevila comes out on her veses? Okay, hopefully that's not going to happen too frequently, but it could happen. She had a very short cycle, for example, and so it sometimes might happen. So will we allow her to have bia? So the Knesset Yecheskel, so cited by the Pischei Tshuva over here, again, a Sif Katam Chav Beis, says it's mutter, b'leil tefilasa. Why? Same idea, samach levasta, it's a mitzvah sona. And it's the same idea. Rav Moshe fundamentally agrees to the Knesset Yecheskel, that the mitzvah here is al tzishtokikos, and that's a chiyuv de'oraisa, and therefore that's the chayev. Except, again, maybe it's hard to know, it's hard to equate them. So maybe she's more mishtokekes when he's yotzei l'derech. Therefore, we can't know for sure. But fundamentally, The logic of the Knesset Yecheskel, Rav Moshe says, is correct. And then he adds something interesting also, which is, you know, we know Rabbeinu Tam doesn't permit Bia, but Divrei Ritzu is okay. So Rav Moshe says, don't think that Divrei Ritzu, okay, like this is the next best thing, but it's not Ona. No, Divrei Ritzu, it could also be Ona, because the point is that there's a kiyum of Ona b'divrei ritzui, not just with Tashmish. If you look at the Ramban on the Pasuk of Sherksos v'Ona, and you'll see he talks about Sherksos v'Ona are three different types of Tashmish and three different sort of needs, emotional needs that Tashmish accomplishes. You also see it in the Chubis Maram Lublin. We'll see that a little later, cited by the Shach. Who brings this raya? In other words, again, this is an important thing to talk about during the Chazon Shmuz, that, but Rav Moshe brings it up in the Tshuva over here, which is that the you see from this whole sugya that Ona is much broader than just Tashmish, a certain shear. And it could include as well and be fulfilled through Divrei Ritzui. And that's why, let's say, according to the Rashba, right? The pshat is that if, even though the way the Rashba learned Rabbeinu Tam was, that even though Tashmish is Aser, and even though normally Divrei Ritzui or Chibuk Menishuk is Aser Bonus of SS, the mitzvah of Ona is Docha, the Iser to Rabbanon of Chibuk Menishuk B'Shas Vesta, right? What's the mitzvah of Ona? If Ona was just Tashmish, there is no mitzvah. The answer is no. Ona is not just Tashmish, and therefore it's included here. I'll just read you the Rav Moshe, by the way, is Evan Ezer, Chela Gimelson, and Chavches. I'll read you just a couple lines from it. It's a long tshuva, but it's a very fundamental point. Im roe shemis aves lo, uminalo larava chiyuv ze, shu chiyuv gamor midoraisa, de ha hiksha, de lifter bishvil ze, mechatas, kishinimtse, shihinida, mitzad tarid bidvar mitzvah, shim haya ze rachiyuv midrabanan, lo shaykh lahaksho ze. So we see that Rava holds that there's a mitzvah de oraisa. L'sameach es ishto, im roa shemis avislo. So how did Rava know that this is a mitzvah de'oraisa? Alma, shemifarish kein hakra de'onasa lo yigra, al ze shechayev l'samcha b'sha'a sheroa shemis avislo. That is the mitzvah de'oraisa. V'chein, b'yotei l'derech, shamar, shemilavik, shemar, yavamos, chayv adam, l'folks mitam zeh, Shahisha Mistokakas, Shuvada Himidarais, Rabbi Yosef, Dafilu Samhovesta, Yifkedan El Peshrashi, Votari Shonim, Shebis Yosef, the M. Hayam the Drabanan, Lomistabesh, I Shaykh Lahati, Samhovesta, and even if you're going to say Vestas a Drabanan and Fishes Drabanan, we wouldn't have been Docha one Drabanan for another Drabanan, he assumes. But the Pshad is no, it's a Chiyav Del Raisa. And like we saw, maybe even if Ona is, even if Prisha is the Oraisa, this might be true. And again, Ayin Sham in the Sugya, he gets into this, what's the Machlokas Achronim in this Pesach Tshuva, but this is certainly a Yisod Gadol that we have to know. Okay, so that is when he leaves for a trip. What about when he comes home for a trip? So that's if Yud Aleph. So according to Rov Rishonim, when he comes home from a trip, why? She's Becheskes Tara. And even if she's asleep. Now, asleep, can you have Tashmish when she's asleep? So the Shach says, no, she's not totally asleep. Then it's inappropriate to have Tashmish. But she's half asleep. She's half asleep. And she can't really tell him if she's Mutarish, if she's Asura, she's in a daze. So unless you could presume she is Muteres, then you wouldn't be able to have Tashmish with her when she's half asleep. You'd have to like make sure she's fully awake and conscious. So it's Mutter. Now, the Rambam writes like this. Kol anashim sheyesh lahem beses, b'cheskas tahara l'ba'alehen, ad shetomer lo t'mani, o ad shetuchsak nidim shchenu seha. Halas b'ay l'mdina acheres, b'nicha taurek, sheyavo, eino tzarech l'shol la, b'afil matza yishena, harei ze mutter lavo ala, shelo b'onas vesta, b'eino cho sheyesh, shemanidahi, So Rambam here has a couple of, I guess we could call it, a huge kula and a chumrah. First, the chumrah. The chumrah is that this din only applies for isha sheyesh la veses. Meaning she has a ves kavua. She doesn't have a ves kavua, this isn't true. Why? Where does Rambam get that from? Because when the Gemara says, the hu shebal matzah besochi me'onasa, so what does that mean? What does that line mean? So we'll see, Rashi says that means before the onabenunis. That's what onasa means. The Rambam, though, says it means vesta. He finds her, shelo bishas vesta. Now, the Rambam happens to be lishitaso here, because the Rambam thinks if she doesn't have a, so as opposed to Rashi, we're talking about a woman who doesn't have a vesta, so it's talking about onabenunis. The Rambam couldn't read it by that way, because the Rambam actually thinks that if you don't have a vesta, you always have to do bidikos before tashmish, as we've noted and we'll see later on. So it couldn't be, the Rambam couldn't read the Gemara like Rashi, that you could have Bia without a Bidika for an Isha Shein Lav Eses. So therefore the Rambam says, no, what does Onasa mean? Her Ona, meaning her particular Veses. So if you find her at another time, not during her Veses, then she is Mutaris. Now, many Rishonim say over here, what if her Veses is passed? Answer is, well, then it depends. Let's say she has a 28-day vases. So if you come home after 28 days, you come home 35 days, so then she'll be a surah. Why? Because there was not enough time for her to have gone to the mikvah after she became a nida. But let's say you came home 45 days later, so there's enough time for her to have gotten her period and gone to the mikvah. So then once again, you're mutter. Why? Because vestos are the rabbana, if vestos were the raisa, then we would basically assume that she for sure became Anita. And if she for sure became Anita, then she's a surah until she tells him, I went to the mikvah. But since Vesas Rabbanan, we don't say for sure she became a mikvah, and therefore became Anita. And therefore, assuming there was enough time for her to have gone to the mikvah, then she is Muteras. Now, it's very interesting. Like, why don't you just ask her, right? Did he go to the mikvah? And this is especially fair for the Rambam. The Rambam, as I just read, holds that if you came not during her Vesa, she's Muteris, even if there's not enough time. She's a 28-day cycle. You come home day 31, Muteris, right, without asking her. So the Rambam is a little schwer, and we'll talk about that in a moment. The Beis Yosef is troubled by the sheet of the Rambam. But, like, why don't you just ask her? Eshavar Tzach Levar. I don't know. Maybe the principle of Eshavar Tzach Levar is when it's easy, okay? It's not nice to wake up your wife. You have to, she's half awake. But to bring somebody from half awake to fully awake is not Eshavar Levar or Kal. So you shouldn't, you're not chayiv. Could be a little different. Could be the pshat is that Eshavar Tzach Levar is when it's late as a safek. Then we say, since it's late as a safek, even though you have a reason to be meiko, like Rov or Chazaka, or maybe something to Rabban and Lakula. But Esh Levar, Tzach Levar, don't rely on those Hachros Lakula if you could be Mevarer. Over here, the Chiddush of this Gemara is there isn't even Leidus HaSafik, because that's just to Rabban. It's not the Pshat that, oh, she's a Safik Nida, oh, we'll assume she's Mutaris because that's just to Rabban. No, that's not the Pshat. The Pshat is that since that's just to Rabban, Mechatesi, she's a Nida. You don't have to be Choshesh. And therefore, there's no at least formal chiyuv to check. And even though the Rambam acknowledges that on her vesis there's a chiyuv to do bedika, yeah, but as we saw before, that chiyuv bedika, according to the Rambam, on her vesis is not mafkir cheskas tara. It's a takana to do a bedika. That's why if she didn't do bedika on her vesis, according to the Rambam, she has no reason to do the bedika after vesis has passed. And therefore, just like she doesn't need to do a bedika, so too, you don't even have to ask if she did a bedika, because it's irrelevant. And therefore, when you're chozer min haderech, mikra din, it's mutter. You know, it'd be interesting to think about what would you say if you held precious deraisa b'shas vesta, ayin shem. But But you see that even if that's the Rambam Shita, that's only Mishas Vesta. Good. Nevertheless, the Beis Yosef is troubled by this Psak of the Rambam. In other words, the Rashba's Psak, which is the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, is that, you know, that she would only be Mutaris if the Vesta's passed and there was enough time for her to have gone to the mikvah. The Rambam that she's, you know, again, her Vesta is day 28, she's Mutaris on day 29. The Beis Yosef is saying, why? I mean, Cholapachos, you should be choshish a little bit, enough to ask. So I think probably, like we're just saying, this is the Rambam Lashitaso, maybe the Rashba Lashitaso. The Rashba holds, like we saw, that though maybe the Rabbanan were choshesh to some degree that she saw dam, or she's b'cheskas tuma until she does a bedika. And therefore, memela, if the onus of Estes is passed, unless there was enough time for her to have gone to the mikvah, she's going to be b'cheskas asura. She tells her, no, I did a bedika and I'm mutaris. Whereas the Rambam holds, no. The Rambam thinks, like we said, that there is no cheskas tuma. There's a chi of bedika, l'chadchila, b'shas vesta, and if she didn't do it, so she didn't do it afterwards. There's no cheskas tuma. And therefore, since vesta's drabana, we don't actually assume she saw. If we don't assume that she saw, then she's going to be mutares, even without asking her. It's only, like we said, b'shas vesta, that there's this chi of bedika. Now, if you learn that rov nashim roos b'shas vestan, at least l'man damar vestas, even, you know, remember we saw the Rashba held that even according to l'man damar vestas derabbanan, rov nashim roos b'shas vestan. So then the Rashba's view certainly is easier to understand. And again, that might be why the Rashba thinks like this. I wonder if the Rambam would agree to that. The Rambam wouldn't agree with the Rashba that rov nashim or roos b'shas vestan. Something to think about. The Rambam doesn't really tell you, but something to think about. I'll call upon him. We paskin like the Rashba, as I said. And therefore, on both of these shilas, right? And therefore, she has to do a bedika on her vesas, kavua, and if she doesn't, she's asur until she does the bedika. And likewise, on her onubenonis, and if not, she's asur until she does the bedika. Because of that, so he has to ask her. And that's the Pesach of the Shulchan Aruch. Yisha sheish l'vestas liyamim levad, v'giyah shas vesta, asher lovo aleha, ad sheish alena. Ve'im ein l'vestas, yom shloshim l'viyasa, v'ke higiyah shas vesta. So he has to ask her. Now, you can't just assume, oh, of course she did a bedika, she's a responsible girl. No, you have to double check. Because like we said, it's like a cheskas iser. Right, obviously, this would not be true for the Rambam. The Chavos Das writes that even if she's awake, you have to ask her. In other words, not only if she's half asleep, because then maybe she didn't do it, but you can't assume that the fact that she's having Tashbush with you, fully awake, indicates that she did a bedika. Why? I mean, she knows the halacha. She went to college classes. Why can't you just extrapolate? You know, you don't have to assume when she gives you some food, is to ask her, oh, is this kosher? No, she's serving you the food. Obviously, it's kosher. She's not going to be machshil him. So why over here, get bishlam, if she's half asleep, I understand why you'd need to, you know, wake her up and ask her, because maybe she's just, she didn't do it and she's half asleep. But she's fully awake. So why do you have to ask her? Why does she have to spell it out? So the answer is, presumably, because we're chosh over here, she forgot. In other words, it's something that's easy to forget. Or maybe slightly differently, we're choshish that because of busha, you know, she's embarrassed, she's going to be embarrassed not to tell her, him. We're going to see a similar halacha a little later on, Simin Kuf Pehei, that she has to spell out Tavalti. L'chora over there, it's not really a chash shama tishkach. It's very hard to forget. It's easy to forget to do a vasa, you know, b'dikah niyam a vasas. That's the easy thing to forget. It's hard to forget that you didn't go to the mikvah. So maybe that would suggest, if we think that the same, the dinim are the same, maybe that would suggest that it's more that we're afraid she's going to be embarrassed. Over there, we're afraid she's embarrassed to tell him, I didn't go to the mikvah. Why? Because the mikvah's freezing. And so she's going to be embarrassed. So we ask her. And over here, you know, maybe she's embarrassed. So it could be that's the pshat. Fine. Now, but it could be it's different. It could be that mikvah, there's a concern. She's misbayashis. Let's say she has a chatzitza over here. It's because shamatishkach. I don't know. Could be that it's not. I don't know if it's the same din or a different din. Comes out similar. So the Chazdas also says, this is quoted in Pesach Tshuva over here, that she has to spell it out. Sarich lahotzi b'fia. And we'll see later on in Siman Kuf Pehe by Tavalti, the same psak. That's the view of the Lacham Chavasdas. Chavasdas says both of them, they have to be spelled out. Now, what's interesting is the Lacham Simla disagrees over there, but not over here. In other words, over here, he seems to agree with the Chavasdas, says she should spell it out. Over there, he disagrees. She doesn't, when she comes back to the mikvah, she doesn't have to spell it out. What's the difference? So I assume the pshat is that over here, we're afraid she's going to forget. So she doesn't spell it out. She, I don't know, initiates Tashmish. So over there, we have no shaila. She's initiating Tashmish for sure. She went to the mikvah. She's not going to be machshilim. And therefore, there's no reason to tell her, oh, you know, she has to say Tavalti. Over here, at least the way the Lechem Simla is assuming, it's a chash she forgot. Oh, so the fact that she's initiating Tashmish doesn't show that maybe she forgot. That's why she's initiating Tashmish. So that would be, I think, the logic of the Lechem Simla to be mechalik between the two cases. Whereas the Chavos Das, who says the same thing in both cases, maybe thinks that they are the same. Like we said, maybe it's because of Bushna. Not clear. We'll talk about it a little later when we get to Kuf Pehe, that many Achronim are Mako, that Swiss, like the Lechem Simla or the like, that Shochavos Etzlo, there are other ways. And again, maybe you can't be Mako over here. So we'll get to that in Kuf Pehe. One thing the Badei Shulchan does point out, whether over here or over there, is even though the Chavos Das says she needs to be Motzi B'feh, it doesn't mean literally. She doesn't have to say, I did a B'dika. Remez is also okay, at least to the degree that it's clear, right? You know, if he says, did you do a B'dika? And she nods her head or like winks or whatever the clear cut hint is, that's going to be okay. It's not like there's a formal din of Dibor over here. Okay. What about a Vashenu Kavua? So L'chora, there shouldn't be a din that you have to ask because even Lo Batka, she's Mutaras. And you don't have to be Choshesh that she became Anita without her saying. And the Badei Shulchan makes this point. He's Mako. And he points out that the Lashon Shulchan Aruch sounds this way because this din of her telling him is only said by Onabenonis or Vases Kavua. Fine. Turning to Sif Yud Beis. So Sif Yud Beis, really we're going to do in Siman Kuf Pei Tes. We'll just bring up the basics now. We're going to have to come back to it when we see a little more because it talks about things like Vases HaGuf and Kfitzos and the like, and we haven't really seen those terms yet. But we'll just, I guess, you know, spell out the basics and then we'll go on. So, the Shulchan Aruch writes like this. Hayala Vases Liyamim Ulevases I love Esliyamim. Ulevases Mivestos Hagof. Kigon Kfitza Ukiyotseba. So this is a little tricky because Vases HaGuf typically refer to things like a sneezing spell or a belching spell or, you know, could be, we'll see, more typical examples of this would be a certain type of headache that she only gets that's associated exclusively with menstruation, Evarak Vedim, Roshak Vedim. We'll see, maybe a staining is a type of Vases HaGuf, different types of things. So she has a Vases, that's usually what we mean by Vases HaGuf. These are l'chora symptoms. Now, then there's something called kfitza that he's referring to over here. Kfitza seems to be something else. It's more of like a causative SS. She jumps up and down a whole lot, and then she gets a re'ia, as opposed to the sneezing spell. Sneezing spells, like I said, it's not going to be like a couple of sneezes here and there. That happens all the time. That's not exclusively associated with menstruation. This is like, you know, huge, a lot of sneezes that only, you know, whenever she gets this amount of sneezing, she gets her period. There, it's exclusive. So let's read on. So she has a veses haguf, kigon, kfitza ukiotziba, like kfitza and the like. So what does and the like mean? That's going to be the tricky line here. And the like means something like kfitza in a narrow sense, or something like kfitza meaning any type of veses haguf. So let's read on. Let's finish the line. Kevan shaveses tali b'maisa, which again sort of sounds more like the kfitza type of thing, but not clear. Emor lo kafza v'lo rasa. So, who says it happened? Aval choshashes lo nebeinunis shishloshim yom. But she's also be choshashes for ona beinunis. So, there are more or less two ways to read this Lashon HaMechaber. The first is the Shach. The Shach says, we're talking here about a Veses Morkov. A Veses Morkov meaning to say a combination of the Veses plus timing. So let's say 28 days plus jumping. So that's Veses HaGuf. And it's like Morkov, Veses HaGuf and Kfitza. We're going to see a little bit later on that Kfitza alone probably is not creative Veses. It's only even according to some Veses HaKfitza is totally irrelevant. According to other Rishonim, it's relevant in a Morkov form, meaning to say combined with Yamim. So, okay. So how do you read the Lashon? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Ayala Veses Liyamim, Ula Veses Mivestos HaGof, Kegon Kfitza Kiyotzebo. So Yamim and one is a Morkov of Yamim and Kfitzos. What's Kiyotzebo? So Kiyotzebo means other types of Veses HaGof. What would that be? Like sneezing. So she has a Veses HaMorkov of Yamim and sneezing. That's what Kiyotzebo means. So then the din is, you don't have to be choshesh, because maybe even though it's associated with Yamim, maybe she didn't sneeze or she didn't jump. And therefore she has to observe the onabeinonis. Okay, that's what the Shach says. Now the Shach, though, that's the way he interprets the Mechaber, but he disagrees. He thinks it's wrong. He has a lot of kasha in this. He says that when you have a Vesna Morkov of Yamim and Guf, it's actually like Yamim. And therefore, Asala that level Lebshas Vesta, and you don't have to be choshish for ona beinonis. That's the way the Shach learns the Mechaber, and that's why he disagrees. Why would there be a difference? Could be the pshat is that the idea of a morkov with yamim and guf is sort of, if nismali sasa, so she's ready to menstruate, she'll start sneezing and she'll see. But kfitza, that's totally like up to her. So there's no reason to be choshesh that she's going to happen to have done some kfitzos. Therefore, they're totally different. And somehow or another, Beis Yosef thought, no, that it's like a combination of the sneezing plus the days that are the Veses. It's not the pshat that it's when Nismali Sasa, she just happens to start sneezing. Okay, Tosfos Shlamim over here, Sidrei Torah as well, say no. Mechaber actually is not really arguing with the Shach. And what does it say? When it says Kiyotzeba, it doesn't mean sneezing. It means things like jumping. What would something be like jumping? Like achila shum, meaning to say a causative veses. Like every time she eats, lots of hot chili peppers on certain days, that's when she gets her period. And that's what he's saying. So it's kfitzu kiyotzibo, things like jumping, like, for example, eating hot chili peppers. Chili peppers might still be different than jumping because or to some Rishonim, they are Kovas on their own. Why it's different, we'll have to see later on. But that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about Vesagov at all. And therefore, fundamentally, the Shach and the Beis Yosef are not disagreeing, if you understand the Beis Yosef that way. Okay, so again, I don't want to get into any more details here because I think it makes sense to. So we will, as I said, get back to this point. Okay, so now we could start Kuf Pei Tes. Let me just...